and welcome to Northeast Access Radio. We're coming to you on the frequency of 90.3, and also welcome to the Senior Citizens Programme. And in studio today we have a delightful person, Clara Fitzgerald is her name, and she's from
C. Elbler.
See, Obla.
That's it. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah, I got that. I knew I'd get it wrong.
No bother.
See, Hell Blue,
that's
right?
Us.
That's it. And we're going to talk to Clara about all sorts of bits and pieces she's involved in, and about projects and activities and services, and they're all available for older people. And they have locations in. How many places?
We're working with about 4,500 people across Ireland, but in the north side of Dublin we have about 7 different locations that we're in for different types of groups.
Mm-hmm. And are they large or are they small, the groups?
The groups are about between 15 to 20 people from different walks of life. So all older adults coming together to practice physical activity.
Well, that's manageable.
Absolutely.
It's like class 20 is totally manageable.
Exactly.
And then what sort of activities do you get up to?
So we do what we call life enhancing activities. So they're exercise programs designed to improve people's lives. We improve with physical, social and mental well-being. And we have a range of amazing trainers who all have level 8 degrees in sports science or related field. And then they come and they go out to these groups and they teach exercise to them. So we work in nursing homes and daycare centres. We work in the community. We work with different patient groups such as COPD Support Ireland, the Irish Heart Foundation Stroke Survivor Group, with Arthritis Ireland. And we also do one-to-one programmes in private homes as well.
Yeah, so, well, that seems to be a huge amount of activities, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's all to do with well-being.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Well-being, is it? And then the physical activities as such, I presume they vary with your clients as such. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So say, for example, with a nursing home, we would have 4 or 5 different programs that we do. They're all based around the idea of exercise, but they would be adapted then to suit the abilities of people. The same in the community. We would have general fall prevention programs. As we know, falls are a massive issue for older people. We also have dementia-specific programs. We have an up-and-go program, which is an outdoor walking group where we stop along the way and do a bit of exercise, you know, using the benches, using some TheraBands. And we just adapt the programs to suit the needs and the goals of our participants. Mm-hmm. So at the start, we would always do an assessment, either a visual assessment or an actual assessment with people. And then we would adapt that program then to suit their needs. So because our trainers have these degrees in sports science or that kind of field, they have the expertise to work with our participants.
Yes, and of course, like as they say, not everybody, every person is the same.
Exactly.
You know, some people might have mobility problems, and you're able to gear the program towards that.
Exactly.
Maybe just holding themselves up against the wall and doing presses and that type of thing.
Exactly.
Or even sitting in chairs.
And we say that the only thing that you need to do a bit of physical activity if you have any mobility issue is a chair. And if you don't have any, we can do all the class standing up. We work with people, you know, of any age once they're considered an adult. So we have people in their 30s with arthritis up to our oldest participants are in about 104, 105 living in nursing homes in the southeast.
105.
Right. So there's no excuse.
No excuse.
There's no excuse.
And you've only got 70 years to get geared up. To,
exactly.
And, you know, the physical well-being as such and the mental well-being now is, that goes, you have to have motivation.
Absolutely.
Of some description, even if your groups are only just talking to the person about doing something. get up and go.
Exactly. So we have these trainers, and they're all, you know, they're very qualified. That's as I've said before. But the difference is they're also quite empathetic and emotionally connected people. So they're trying to make that connection with our participants, and that encourages them. And also there's a huge social element. So whether they're doing a group program, people start to meet friends in the classes. Whether it's in a nursing home, they might start to speak to somebody that they'd never spoken to before and create a connection that way. Or, you know, we have a lady in Whitehall in the north of Dublin, and she has COPD, and she got a call from her respiratory nurse in Beaumont to say that this program was starting up 2 years ago. And she had taken a lady's number that she had met in hospital, and she said, you know, I'll give her a call and we'll go together. And today they're still great friends. Mm-hmm. So they've created a friendship just based around their shared condition as well as exercise. So they're coming together to practice physical activity.
Yeah, that's absolutely terrific, you know. And we know that longevity in Ireland is on the increase.
Absolutely.
I mean, people, they've said the 60-year-olds of 20 or 30 years ago, or the 80-year-olds now at the moment.
Exactly.
With the same motivation as those 60-year-olds had way back then in the 40s or whatever.
Exactly.
And of course, then there's all sorts of other things that help. There's nutrition, etc. And you would be giving advice on that type of thing too.
We do. We give a small bit of advice, but we really focus around the physical element of it.
Yeah.
We've worked in the past with we were lucky enough to get a supporting grant from Nutrition Medical a few years ago. So when we need to, we do a nutritional screening with people as well and give some advice. But really, we're focusing on that physical element and then the impact that has on your life.
Yeah, well, even now going upstairs, some people can be a chore.
Absolutely.
And with respiratory problems and that. But you will be able to give them advice on how to.
Of course.
And of course, you said falls are now one of the big problems with elderly people. You know, and it could be footpaths, although I see the city councillor shaving them down in lots of cases, scabbling them, I think is a proper pronunciation for that type of activity. And, you know, mats and in houses, it can be a disaster.
Of
you
course,
know?
Anything can be a trip hazard.
Yeah, and anything is a trip hazard. And if you're frail, you don't bounce when you're 80 or 90 years of age. And if you break your hip, you're in big trouble.
Well, that's it. You know, the it's estimated the cost of falls and fractures in Ireland is going to reach 1 billion by 2020.
Oh.
And 2 billion by 2030. So
in 10 years, they're going to double.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to make sure that people are able to practice physical activity that helps them to prevent falls.
Yeah.
So we want to stop a fall from happening. Or if a fall does happen, we want to ensure that we can keep them to bounce back a little better. Exactly. So we've we work with a lot of our cohorts. We would do a fall prevention class So we'll work on obstacles and improving people's gait, their ability to walk and lift up their legs, and improving strength and the muscles around knees. So if they do fall, you know, that there might not be as big of an impact. So,
And
that's what we want to do.
You want to be like a rugby player.
I don't know about a rugby player.
Well, I don't really actually mean to be a rugby player. But they train how to fall.
Exactly.
And some of them fall very heavily.
I can imagine. Absolutely. Yeah, and we're really focusing when we're talking about fall prevention as well. It's about ensuring that people can live in their own homes for as long as they want to.
Well, that's a big problem. Well, it's becoming a big problem.
Exactly.
Although I think there's all sorts of groups. Alone is one of the ones that
fantastic organization,
which provide accommodation for people on who are you know, single or maybe that type of thing. But we'd be talking to Mr. Moynihan about that. But this is going to be a big problem, I think, in the future. Now, adaptability of, you know, accommodation, let me say house, it may need a ramp. if you or you know, stairs and steps can be lethal in the front. And some houses may have three or four steps, and some of them might just have one, and some of them might have none.
And we really take it for granted when we're younger as well, the impact
that... Oh, you fly up them things.
Yeah, I remember when my family, you know, when my mother was buying a house or looking for a house, and she was thinking, how many stairs will there be for when I get older? You know, and it's very important to think about these things. But trying to, when we do physical activity and the exercise programs that we do, we're trying to ensure that people can continue to do those activities of daily living that are very important.
Yeah, hand raising.
And that we all take for granted, you know. When we're working in nursing homes, we do a reach up exercise, and that's mirroring as if you're pulling down one of the emergency cords. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's very important. Somebody might not have the shoulder mobility to pull down an emergency cord. Exactly. So we want to make sure that people have those mobilities to do things that are important to them.
Yeah. That's like the train. You get up to pull the
Exactly. It's very similar, and that's something that we might say in a class, you know, just trying to encourage people to do it.
Think you're on a train and you're just in an emergency. I don't know what they do on recent transport, but in the
old
ones,
it's just a button there.
The old steam yokes, puff. But these activities now, if you can teach them, even if you're on your knees, now lots of people get down on their knees to get something in the press, and they find it difficult to get up.
Absolutely. So we're helping to, you know, from a simple chair exercise, we can work on building people's muscles in their legs, so they actually find it easier then to stand up. You know, that it makes life a little bit easier. You know, that we ran a campaign recently called I Can, and we were finding what people were able to do now that they weren't able to do before they did exercise. And we work with the Swordsmen's Shed group.
Oh yeah.
And one of the gentlemen, Ronnie, said that he now finds it so easy to tie his shoelaces that he found it difficult before, the mobility and his flexibility in order to be able to tie his shoelaces. Mm. And now he says it's not even a bother to him anymore. You know, the bending down, he doesn't have to think about it or worry about being able to get back up again.
And of course, when you go, the sense of gravity when you're leaning forward.
All
you have to do is trip and you're gone.
Exactly. So we want to make sure that, you know, people are able to do these things easier. You know, we had Frank as well from the campaign, who was from the men's shed as well.
Yeah.
And he was a truck driver all his life, and he had leukemia and lost a lot of his muscle mass in hospital. But after doing the exercise programs, he was actually able to turn his head better so that he could see better when he was driving.
Yeah.
So it's these things that physical activity can have a massive impact on, just daily activities that you don't expect them to do. And then we have some amazing stories as well from our participants. Like, we have Jennifer, who lives in Howth, and Jennifer is 73, and she had esophageal cancer. And while she found that the treatment for the esophageal cancer was okay, she said after a while it really started to take its toll on her.
Yeah.
And she...
The side effects,
exactly. She said she was very fatigued and she lost all her strength, and she has a lovely little Jack Russell muffin who she was no longer able to pick up for. So her friend was doing one of our classes in Bray and said, give CL Blue a call and see what we can do. And the closest class we had to her was in Drumcondra, but unfortunately she said she just didn't have the energy to get to Drumcondra. So she called me up and we said, why don't we do a one-to-one class? So we sent our trainer, Paul, out to do a one-to-one class with her. And within 6 months, she was able to do, I believe, at the time, it was up to 100 squats in a session.
100? Well, I know what squats are like.
Exactly. And now she can even, sometimes when she's feeling her best, she can do 150 squats. So this is a lady who's come from over a period of a couple of hours.
Yeah.
So she might do 50 in the morning, 50 in the afternoon and a few more in the evening or something like that. And that's from a person who couldn't even lift up her dog or walk up the stairs. So this is the impact that that CL Bleu and exercise can have on anybody, whether you're doing it in any kind of community class or you're doing with us.
Yeah, and squats, they look simple enough. But
they're not. They're not simple. No, not at all. They're
when
quite...
When you get down, I get you.
Exactly. And we call them a compound movement because they use a lot of different muscles. So they're quite an effective exercise. And Jennifer now would do her squats, even though our trainer would come to her once a week. She would do different exercises all during the week that the trainer has prescribed for her.
And I know they have sheets with little diagrams on them.
Exactly.
And it shows her what to do, and whether it's push-ups or whatever, from chairs, sitting up and sitting down.
And actually, Austin, we have, if anyone logs onto our website, clbleu.ie, so it's spelled SIELBLEU.ie. Yeah. I'm sure there'll be a link on your website.
It's not that other Diablo.
No. But if they log on, what they can do is they can sign up to our newsletter and they'll receive 3 free at-home exercise guides. So that's an upper body, lower body and full body workout with a video and those sheets, as you said, that they can do at home themselves. So they can practice along for free, which is great. So just something they can do.
And the thing is, of course, they ease into it.
Exactly. Yeah. And the ones that we have online, they're very simple. Just to give you a taster of the different type of activities that we do.
Physical well-being as such leads to mental well-being.
Absolutely.
Now, lots of people don't connect the two of them at all. You know, and loneliness is one of the big problems that is going to occur in Ireland, we think, in the future, and hopefully not. But at the moment, it depends where you are. You could be in the middle of the city in an apartment block and be lonely.
Absolutely. You can be surrounded by people and be lonely. We had a man as part of our ICANN campaign as well, called Noel McLaughlin, and he is from Talla. And Noel suffered 10 strokes. 10 mini strokes, and one of them was quite large. He also had prostate cancer and a hip replacement, all within the space of 5 years. And one of the strokes caused him to have quite emotional cycles. So he would feel very down and actually bawl crying, as he said in his own words.
Depression
caused by the stroke. And he started coming to our stroke survivor class, which we run in Talla, and we have them all across the country as well. But he came to the one in Talla. And he said that he met other people who were similar to him, and he started to do the activities, and it started to encourage him to do more. So Noel, now going from all of those different issues that he has, Noel's ICANN was that he could walk up to 9 kilometres a day, every day. And that's gone from a man who was, you know, was sitting on the couch, didn't have the energy or the encouragement to do anything, and now he's taking that initiative and going out and walking by himself, and he says it's the class, the exo class, is one of the best things he's ever done.
Yeah, well, 9 kilometres is not a short distance.
It's not for a 77-year-old man. It's not for anybody, but...
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure put it into
miles. It's 5 to 6 miles. We did the calculation before.
Because I used to do a bit of running myself. It's all right if the weather is like today in Lusignan.
Yeah.
But if there's a howling bloody breeze out and an east wind that is skin you.
Yeah.
To get yourself out the front door.
It's a hard
job. That's the first
thing.
The first step outside the front door is maybe the hardest.
Yeah.
Psychologically, not physically.
Yeah.
Psychologically, oh my God, not again, bucketing down rain, you know.
But Noel says that even though when it's raining, he still goes out and does it himself because he knows how good he feels after doing it.
He says
that it's completely changed his life, he says. And he walks even to the exercise class that he does with our trainer, Sean, in the Rua Red in Talla. He walks there. It's a good 2 or 3 kilometre walk and then walks back.
Right, yeah.
Rain, hail, sun, shine, whichever
well,
he's
there. That's what you call
there.
Motivation.
Exactly. Really.
But that thing to get people motivated, you have to get something to click.
Exactly. And that's it. You know, Ciel Bleu is, it's obviously a French term, so it means blue skies. So yeah. That's what it is. It's getting the blue skies out and feeling good because of
CL
it.
CL Bleu.
CL Bleu, that's us, yeah. So the blue skies.
I got it right.
You did, you did get it right.
I'm CL Bleu.
That's us.
And, you know, the your motivation is magnificent. Now, with regard to expanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, mostly you're operating mostly in the Dublin area.
Well, we work with about 4,500 people a week in 20 counties across Ireland.
20 counties, yeah.
Yeah. So
that's more than 3/4
exactly.
of the country.
Exactly. So we're hoping to be nationwide within the next 18 months, conservative estimate.
And now, and other organisations like HSE and other organisations as such, do they give you support?
Yeah, so we partner with a lot of different organisations to provide services to their members.
Mm-hmm.
So COPD Support Ireland, we have a programme with them. So COPD is a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And it's basically the umbrella term for lung disease. And we designed a programme with them in 2014, which aims to improve the aerobic capacity of people living with COPD.
Yeah, it's a respiratory disease.
Exactly. So people aren't able to breathe as easily when they have COPD, and they might have oxygen masks that you might see them wearing.
Yeah.
And we work with a number of different groups. And the lady I spoke with before from Whitehall, she has COPD.
Yeah.
And Thelma, who, you know, from COPD, when she started with the class, she was in and out of hospital beforehand. She wasn't able to stay out. She was constantly getting infections and getting ill. And she said she was out, in and out all the time. And now 2 years through the class with us, the Exercise COPD and Me program, she's managed to keep herself out of hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So she's only had one hospital stay in those 2 years. And actually, she's now no longer needs oxygen at rest. So she was on oxygen 24 hours a day and she no longer needs mm-hmm. it at rest. Now, we can't guarantee those results for everybody because, as you said before, everybody's different. But that's one of our main success stories is Thelma. And that's mirrored across all the different groups we have.
Yeah.
We have, as I said, we work with stroke groups. So we work with the Irish Heart Foundation Stroke Survivor Group. We work with Arthritis Ireland, with Pulmonary Hypertension Ireland. So many different organisations. And then we also partner with the HSE for some of their daycare centres. And we provide classes in their daycare centres and in their nursing homes as well. A few of them. Hopefully we'll get more as time goes on and people start to hear more about us.
Yeah, and you know, there's only about 5% of the population are in nursing homes, approximately.
Yeah.
And the fair deal and all that. But that's another story for another
day.
But if you can't breathe, or you find difficulty, you can't do anything else.
Well, you can do small bits of exercise monitored by professional staff that we have. And when we start to improve people's lung capacity and their ability to do that, then you'd be surprised in what you can see, what can happen.
Yeah, well, of course, they're breathing exercises, you know, them. Hold it 10 for 10, hold it for 10, out for 10.
Exactly,
well, that's the start of them, of course.
Exactly.
And
reducing that anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and anxiety. And, I think we're just nearly up to our first bit of this program.
Great.
And Clara, I will talk to you now after the break. As such, and we go on to a little bit of another topic, but we keep the going on the one more or less one track we were on all the time.
Yeah, perfect.